Well, good Sunday morning, church. Welcome to this, I guess, first of a new way of doing church while we wait out this coronavirus outbreak. I'm here with you again from our little computer room here at our house. And I just want to talk to you a little bit today from God's Word. First of all, let me say a word of welcome to everyone here, and especially to anyone who's with us here for the first time. If this is your first time worshiping with us, I want you to know how thankful we are that you're here today. This is a very appropriate time to be turning to God. And so you are more than welcome. We're honored by your presence. Church, if you're gathered here with me, 11 o'clock or so on Sunday morning, I'm excited that we, even though we're not physically together, I'm excited to know that God's people are gathered in your households, maybe with friends, and are coming together in a sense around the preaching of God's word, singing and worship as we've done already this morning. And so it really is a privilege and a, I guess, a neat way to see God keeping his church together, and to see a reminder that God's work is not over. It's not finished. God is still working. And while we're trying our best to honor what God has told us about gathering together, this is still just a shadow of what we hope to return to shortly in God's house, where we can be one again in person, face to face, for a time of worship. And what a time of worship that is going to be when we're back together. We need to do something special on that day. Well, thank you for being here this morning. I need to say a word of thanks to a couple of people, a lot of people actually, to our awesome staff, our pastors and ministers at Poplar Springs. You would not believe how these guys have come together this last week to make adjustments. Kathy Kemp, Trey Kennedy, Vicky, Erica, all of them, just to make adjustments, to get things going, to serve, to do. So much has been done. Thank you to all of you guys, just for your labor and for the heart behind it, love of God and love for his people. We're blessed by that, and we're seeing some of the fruit of that this morning. Also, thank you, church. Poplar Springs, you have been incredible. I can't count the number of calls and text messages I've gotten saying, hey, if someone has a need, I want to help. I can run an errand. I can go to the store. I can pick up a prescription. I can serve in other ways. Just please let me know. And it really was more than an offer. I promise you, people are out there who have a heart and a desire to get in here and to be servants and to model the attitude of Jesus inside the church and without. And so thank you, church, for your hearts, for your understanding as we walk through these uncertain and in some ways frightening days together. During this time, if we are anything as God's people, we have got to be a people of prayer. Now, there's a lot more we need to be, but if we're nothing else, we have got to be on our knees in earnest, in repentance, in prayer, going before God and seeking him for the things our world needs. And so I wanted to look this morning in Genesis chapter 18 at an episode of prayer of sorts. This is Abraham and God really in a conversation, face to face. It's in person. But I think it informs kind of our attitude and our heart of prayer. And so we're going to learn some things about God, and we're going to learn some things about praying to God this morning through this old, ancient account, historical account of one of God's people having a conversation with the Lord himself. And so Abraham is an upright man, we learn in Genesis. He's introduced all of a sudden in Genesis and we learn a little bit about him. We see him walking with God. God finds Abraham to be a man of faith, and God makes promises to him, enters into covenant with him, and Abraham blows it more than once. He makes some grave mistakes along the way, but God still loves him. God has fixed his love on Abraham. And so we come to an episode here in Scripture where God has promised to Abraham that he is going to bear a son by his wife. Even though Abraham and his wife are both very advanced in years. Now there is advanced in years, and then there's very advanced in years. Some of you meet that qualification, but Abraham and his wife definitely met that qualification. God has told them, you're going to have a son, your wife is going to bear this son, even though that's impossible. And he asks the question, shall anything be impossible with God? The answer is no. And so while God and Abraham are here together, the Lord has actually appeared in a form so that Abraham can interface with him, okay? He has made this concession to talk to Abraham, a human being. And so that's what's happening here. They're talking, and God turns his attention toward a city called Sodom. And that's where we're going to start reading today. This is a city that is just deeply wicked. I mean, probably beyond our imagination. We have never experienced the depth of wickedness that's happening in this city called Sodom. But there's one thing, Abraham's family, several members of his family live there in that city. And so God comes and says, Abraham, I'm going to destroy the city of Sodom. It has come up to me. I have seen, I've heard that this city is so desperately wicked. I'm going to destroy the city. And we're going to see what Abraham says back to God, what he asks God to do. We're asking God right now to do some incredible things. We're asking him to do those because it seems like we are facing an incredible future, an incredible foe, you might say. We have an enemy out there that is a sickness, a microscopic virus, and by all accounts, something awful could happen. We're listening to the news. We're seeing this. I hope we look back on this and see that it wasn't as bad as these forecasters are telling us. But right now, I find myself listening and watching and praying. Listen, there's times that I've been afraid. There's been times I've looked at this and thought, this is not a big deal. But there's times I've really thought, what is this going to turn out to be? And I have been a man of prayer through this. We've got to be people of prayer. And let's look at how Abraham did this very thing with the Lord. Genesis chapter 18, verse 20, and we'll read through verse 33, okay? If you have your Bible, go ahead and get it. I do want you to have it out. If you have a device, that's okay. There's no substitute for your Bible, for your physical Bible. Let the Bible stand apart from other messages and media that we take in. Find your Bible, turn the paper, let's look at it together, okay? I think it'll be important to you to be able to lay your eyes in your Bible, your companion, God's Word, as we look at this together. And so, in verse 20 of chapter 18, then the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and their sin is very grave, I will go down to see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me. And if not, I will know. Two things. I got to stop. The first is this. This is a story of God bringing judgment upon a people. And I do not want you to believe that I am making a parallel where that comes in. I don't want you to believe that I'm making a parallel to say God is bringing judgment on us, on the world, on America, on whomever, through the coronavirus. That is not the parallel I intend to make. But I don't rule out that God may be doing that, or that he has the right to do that, or that in the heavenly spaces and in the counsel of God, that he may decide to do that upon a people at a certain time on this earth. He's well within his rights. I don't know whether he's doing that or not with this coronavirus. I don't have that insight. But that's not the parallel I'm in to make, and I don't want you to walk away saying, Matthew said God is judging us with the coronavirus. I don't have that insight. The other thing is this, as we open up kind of this scripture here, we see God saying some strange things, saying, I have come down to see whether Sodom and Gomorrah, whether it's as bad as all that I've heard, okay? Are we to take from this that God does not know all things, that he does not already know? Not at all. The Bible is very clear, is abundantly evident that God knows and sees all things perfectly, that there is nothing hidden from his sight. But this is God's way of conversing, of condescending, of coming down to Abraham's level, to having an interface with him. And so he uses these this manner of speaking. I don't want you to take anything else away from that. As we read. Verse 22, so the men, these men were angels who God had with him, turned from there and went towards Sodom. But Abraham stood still before the Lord. Then Abraham drew near and said, will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to put the righteous to death with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked? Far be that from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just? Or maybe your translation says, do what is right. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is right? And the Lord, all capital letters, this is Yahweh God, make no mistake, this is the eternal God. The Lord said, if I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will spare the whole place for their sake. Abraham answered and said, behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord, I who am but dust and ashes. Suppose 5 of the 50 righteous are lacking. Will you destroy the whole city for lack of 5? And God said, I will not destroy it if I find 45 there. Again, he spoke to him and said, suppose 40 are found there. And God answered, for the sake of 40, I will not do it. Then he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Suppose 30 are found there. He answered, I will not do it if I find 30 there. He said, behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are found there. God answered, for the sake of 20, I will not destroy it. Then he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak again, but this once. Suppose 10 are found there. God answered, for the sake of 10, I will not destroy it. And the Lord went his way when he had finished speaking to Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. What a story. What a personal relationship we see between these two. This is not a mechanical thing. This is not something that's just very rigid. This is God and one of his creations whom he has loved and favored and walked with. Abraham's made mistakes, and God has continued to promise to him children and a future, that he'll be the father of much. And he comes now to Abraham and says, I'm going to destroy these cities because of their grave wickedness. And Abraham dares to step into the presence of God. Let's see. Let's learn a little bit about this. A little bit about the Lord. The first thing we see is that God is faithful to his character. God is faithful to his character. We need to remember this. Look at what Abraham does. Abraham knows that the person of God is inseparable from the character of God. Look what he says in verse 25. He says, far be it from you to do such a thing. And he continues toward the end of this verse, and he asks this question, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? See, Abraham knows that God occupies a role as the judge of all the earth, and that because he is that God, he is the judge of all the earth. He occupies that highest, unapproachable position, that he is also the one who will do righteous. He is the right and just God. And Abraham knows that the person of God is inseparable from the character of God. See, God never has a one-off day. God's never in a bad mood and all of a sudden he slips up and he does something that's unrighteous. See, God's never sleepy or just been so busy, just worn so thin that all of a sudden he makes a mistake and just an oversight. All of a sudden he does something or makes a judgment or decision that's just wrong, that's unrighteous. No, listen, who God is what God is like. The judge of all the earth is necessarily to be the righteous one. And so that's what Abraham appeals to God. He goes to God in a prayer of sorts. And say, God, is this what you're going to do? Will not the judge of all the earth do what is right? The person of God is inseparable from the character of God. We know some things about God. We've walked with God. You know what I mean. My grandmother was a wonderful lady. Her name was Imogene. We called her Meemaw. When I was a kid, I visited her all the time, and I remember we would leave her house we had a little red Ford Fairlane, I think it was. And Meemaw would always have this habit of saying, I'm going to wave to you till you're out of sight. I never heard that term before, out of sight. But I liked it as a kid. I just kind of liked it. So I would always ask from then on, Meemaw, are you going to wave to me till I'm out of sight? She said, yep, till you're out of sight. And I would look out the back window of that Ford Fairlane, the back windshield, and I would watch her stand there the whole time we pulled out of her driveway. She's waving at me. We would walk, we would cross the street and go through a church parking lot that was across from her house, and she was waving the whole time. It wasn't until after we rounded the corner of one of the brick corners there of that church, that she ever stopped waving. In fact, I never saw her stop waving. She waved until I was completely out of sight every time. In fact, she never even began to turn her body. She never even rotated her head away or averted her eyes. She stood there and waved the whole time. I knew for my whole life that my Meemaw, Imogene, was gonna stand there and wave at me as a teenager. She would stand out there and watch me go. As a young man, I would go eat leftovers at her house. I would pull out. She would stand there until I couldn't see her anymore, until I was out of sight. See, I knew her character. I knew what she would do because I knew who she was. And so Abraham says, listen, the judge of all the earth will most definitely do right. He appeals to God on the basis of his character. But we need to remember that this coin has two sides. We need to remember that, I guess we could put it put it this way, that what God does is right because he is righteous. Let me back up a minute. We've already known that because God is righteous, he does what is right. Because he's righteous, he does what is right. But the flip side of that coin is this. The flip side of the coin is that what God does is right because he is righteous. And so we can go to God sometimes and we can say, God, I feel like this is right. In my deep spaces, I'm asking you for something that I have a sense that is right, a sense that I think is given to me by you. Lord, please, I'm asking you this. It must be right. And it lines up with God's character of righteous, and he answers our prayers and he says, yes, it is right and I will do what is right. But there are other times that we go to God and we say, God, I feel that this is right. I'm asking you this in my heart because I have a sense that it's right. It's the just thing, God. And we pray that, and God answers opposite of what we pray. Does that mean that God is not righteous? No. What God does is right because he's righteous. Just as much as because God is righteous, he does right. I feel like I'm really messing that up a lot. But when God answers in a way that doesn't seem right to us, we have to remember that he is the judge of all the earth and he will do right. He will do right. By virtue of the fact that God has done it, we know that it is right because he is righteous. Do we trust our own feelings above the righteousness of God? No. We may not feel that something is right, but when God does it, we know that his judgments are altogether righteous. He's the judge of all the earth. God is faithful to his character. Pray God's faithfulness in this time. Go to God and plead with him on the basis of his character, of his faithfulness, of who he is. God, I know you're a loving God. God, I know you're a caring God. God, I know you're an unchanging God. God, I know you're a faithful God. God, I know you're a merciful God. God, we are calling upon you for your help right now. We're calling on you, God, and we're calling upon you because of your character. You're the judge of all the earth, and Lord, we must trust you to do right. Second is this. Second thing we learn about God is that God is merciful to his people. God is merciful to his people. In the midst of this prayer, there are several mini prayers going on, M-I-N-I. There are several mini prayers that are happening in the middle of this big prayer. God, will you spare the city of Sodom? That's the big prayer. The mini prayer is this: God, do not become angry at me for daring to ask you these things. It's a secondary prayer for sure, but it reveals something about God's mercy. It reveals that Abraham realizes he's could be on shaky ground here, right? He admits in verse 27 that he is nothing but dust and ashes, and he has dared to come before God, who is the judge of all the earth, who is the Lord. He knows that God is not giving him what he deserves, that he deserves to be cast out of the presence of God. The God of the ages does not entertain dust and ashes, right? He shouldn't. That doesn't really make sense. But as we see, he actually does. And Abraham knows here that something remarkable has happened, that he as dust and ashes is coming in the presence of the King of the ages, and as being not only tolerated, but listened to, loved, and welcomed. God, don't give me what I deserve here. Lord, please, don't give me what I deserve. Hear me out and listen to me. We treat people this way when we're merciful, when we have the character of mercy, or maybe of grace. We treat people this way. My son, this very night, my youngest son, Reese, been outside playing all day, and he came to me and laid his head in my lap. We were out by the fire, and he said, I've got a headache. I said, well, let's go in, buddy, and we'll get you some medicine. And I got him an ibuprofen out, and I poured him a little cup of Coca-Cola, even though it was late at night. I knew that Coca-Cola might help his headache, and I poured a Coke and got him the medicine out. I gave it to him. Came in there, and even in his headache state, he said, Dad, I bet you $1 that I can swallow both of these down in 30 seconds. I said, what? He said, I bet you if I swallow these down in 30 seconds, you got to give me a dollar. Well, I took the bet, but I thought, that little stinker, you know? Here he was outside playing. He has a headache. I bring him in. He's 8 years old. I bring him in like a little baby. I get him some medicine. I pour him the Coke. I call him in there. And that stinker wants my dollar on top of it, right? You don't deserve that dollar, right? I mean, you get the picture here. We when we're merciful, we're familiar with giving, with not giving people what they deserve, right? We don't give them the evil or the hard things that they deserve sometimes. We're graceful. We're merciful. That's what God is doing here to Abraham. Abraham is in the presence of God, and God is merciful to hear him over and over again. When we pray this week, I hope you'll be praying this mercy of God. God, I hope you'll be going to God and say, God, don't give us what we deserve in this. Lord, maybe we don't deserve to be heard by you. Lord, please hear us. Lord, maybe we don't deserve to have your attention on this matter. Oh, God, give it your attention. Oh, Lord, maybe we don't deserve your intervention here. God, give us, please don't give us just what we deserve, Lord. Please intervene in this matter. God, maybe we don't deserve this or that. God, please give it to us. Would you plead the mercy of God? Plead the character of God. Yes, God, I come to you. I pray to you on the basis of your character, God, your unchanging character, who you are. I know that about you. But God, I plead to you on the basis of your mercy because, Lord, I'm standing in a place that I don't deserve to be. I am but dust and ashes and sinful at that. I'm coming to you only on the basis of your choice for mercy toward me. And, oh, God, would you give me that mercy today as I come to you? As I come on behalf of our community, have we sinned? Is this a judgment? I don't know the answer to that. God, don't give us what we deserve. We intercede based on the mercy of God. If Abraham wanted to come on the basis of what he had to offer, he would have nothing to offer. He is dust and ashes. He's coming only because God is merciful. And that has not changed, okay? Pray the mercy of God this week. But lastly is this. Last thing about God we need to learn is that God is aware of his children. He is aware of his children. Abraham's is not a universal appeal. He's not praying, God, would you spare all the people? He says, God, would you be mindful of those who belong to you? Would you be mindful of those who are the righteous and the upright? Those who, like me, Lord, have a faith in you. Would you be mindful and aware of who it is that are your children down there in Sodom and Gomorrah? Are there a lot of wicked people? Are there a lot of them? Well, apparently, yeah, there are. But God, what if there's 50 righteous? Would you just watch the 50, Lord? Would you be aware of those 50? God, they're yours. Yes, I will. What about 45? What about 30? What about 20? Lord, one. What if there's only 10, Lord? Would you be mindful of those people because those 10 people, do they matter because they're yours, God? God says, yeah, okay. They matter, and I'm watching them. See, God is aware of his children, and God's children have a special place in his awareness. You and I, if we're the children of God, if we are in Christ today, if we belong to him, then we have a special place in the awareness of God. And you know what this is like. Our kids were young, I mean, very young, and you know how hard that can be sometimes. You can't escape them at all. And my sweet wife, Erica, in order to pray and have any time with the Lord, would lock herself in a closet in our bathroom, in our bedroom. So three doors between her and the kids just to have a moment with the Lord. I remember one day when I was putting together bunk beds, and I had stuff spread out everywhere. I locked the door so the kids wouldn't come in and move all my tools and all the stuff I had out, and had it locked. I was working in there, and all of a sudden I heard something scratching at the door, and a little bitty knock. Now this was when Olivia, our daughter, was very, very young. She could barely walk, just to the point where she could say a few words, and she came and knocked on that door, and I didn't answer the door. I was busy. She knocked again. I still didn't answer. Finally, I heard a little voice out there say, "It's me, Livy, L-I-V-I with a W. It's me, Livy." What is that? What does she mean by that? I mean, it kind of melted my heart. I let her come in because, hey, after all, it was her, Livy. It was my little girl. It was Olivia. She belonged to me. And she's there at the door and nobody's letting her in. And she makes the appeal to say, "Hey, do you know who it is? It's me. It's Olivia. It's your daughter. Because of who I am, because of whose I am, I deserve entry into this room, even though you've shut me out." And so Abraham comes on behalf of the people of God, and he appeals to the Lord to remember those who are his, who are special to him. I promise you today that God hears your prayers because you belong to him, that you have access to his throne room because, Lord, it's me, it's your son, it's your daughter. You bought me with the blood of Christ, God. I belong to you today. Lord, will you listen to me? Listen. I'm telling you today on the authority of the word of God, the Lord listens to his people, right? We know from Hebrews that we have now got confidence to enter into the throne of grace to find help in time of need. The reason we have that confidence is because Jesus is our great high priest. God is faithful, but he's faithful especially to those who are his. Would you pray today the fatherhood of God? God, I'm praying your character. Lord, I'm bringing before you your character. I'm so glad you're faithful to your character. Oh God, I'm praying your mercy today. Lord, I'm asking for things that I don't deserve, but God, please just don't give me what I deserve. Not because I'm great. I'm dust and ashes because of your mercy. And God, I'm praying your fatherhood today because I know you maintain a constant awareness of your children, Lord, that I have a special place in your awareness because I belong to you. God, it's me. Would you go to God on that basis today, the fatherhood of God, and plead with him for whatever it is that you need in life? For the coronavirus and all that's happening there, would you go to him? Would you plead these things, not just willy-nilly, not just happenstance, not just air breathed out into the, but go to the word of God and see how he related to this man of faith and pray along these lines. If you notice at the end here, the last verse in verse 33, down at the very bottom here, the Lord, it says, after all this is said and done, the Lord went his way when he had finished speaking to Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. See, Abraham left it with God. He didn't follow God down there and see what was going to happen. He didn't keep hounding God. I mean, oh, you know, God, are you going to do it? Are you going to do it? He said his peace, and God made his promise, and God went where he said he was going to go. And Abraham went back to his place. We can let our prayers rest with God. What he says he will do, he is faithful to fulfill, okay? And so as we agonize in prayer, church, as we are on our knees, as I have been in physically on my knees before God about matters in our world right now, as we're there, when we stand up and walk away, we can leave it and trust it with God. Will not the judge of all the earth do right? And the answer is certainly yes. And when God does something, it is right because he is the judge of all the earth. I want to ask you a question as we wrap this up today. I know I'm over time again, but ask you this question. Will there be found the righteous people of God in all that we're facing today? Are God's people going to be serious enough to go to him, to pray to him? Are we going to be serious enough that after this is over, if God answers our prayers and or if he answers them another way that we're not expecting, if this is all over with, are we serious enough that we're not going to just return back to our old sinful ways? Are we going to be found to be the righteous people of God that Abraham was so pleading with the Lord about? Will you be found to be righteous in this? Will God look down and say, are there 50? Are there 20? Are there 10? Can we be counted on? Can we be counted? Are you going to be one of those? And let me ask you today, are you one of those this morning? See, if you are far from God, there is no better time than right now to turn to him. Maybe you're someone who's never placed your faith in Jesus Christ. Hey, this morning, you turn to the Lord. He is faithful to receive you. In fact, in the Gospel of John in chapter 6, Jesus says, all who come to me, I will in no wise cast off. That means there's those who come to him, he's in no way going to send away. He's not going to cast you off. Does that mean if your sin has been very dark and deep that you can come to him? Yes, it does. Those who will come to him, he will not cast off. Why don't you turn to him this morning? Why don't you just do that? Just go to the Lord and pray for forgiveness of sin. Pray that he'll receive you in his kingdom. Pray that he'll grant you eternal life in heaven with him because of the blood of Jesus. Maybe you're a Christian this morning and you've been far from God. You know it. You're a Christian. You know, you've made a decision for Christ, but you really couldn't be called faithful. And maybe you would come back to God this morning and just return to the one who has loved you so. What's holding you back? What's holding you back from that? I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer. And we're going to wrap things up here, and we'll be done until next week. But if you have a decision that you have made or need help making, if you're in a spiritual place that you need counsel, why don't you reach out to me, and you can call me or email me. All the information is on the church website. It's on the new website for this time of outbreak. Reach out to me or someone you trust. Don't let this time go wasted. God is waiting to hear from you, okay? You come back to him. Let me pray. Lord, thank you today for your kindness, for your character, Lord, for your mercy, and for your fatherhood. Lord, these are things that we don't want to take for granted right now, but we just come to you, we appeal to you, and we thank you, Lord, that you are always trustworthy and true. So today we place the needs of our world, the needs of our lives before you. And we ask that you would see these things based on your unchanging character, that you would act upon these things based upon your mercy, not to give us just what we deserve, Lord. We pray that you would intervene in our lives and our world because, Lord, you are our Father, and we hold a special place in your awareness that because we exist, that because we are yours, Lord, that because it's us knocking at your door, that you will hear and heal, God. We pray for that. I pray for those today who have made or need to make a decision for you, who in these times might turn to you, God, that you would see to it, Lord, that they find their way to salvation. Lord, we thank you for the word of God and trusting it to us. I pray it'll make a difference in our lives this week. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Church, we'll be talking again soon. We'll have an update coming out on Wednesday of this week on the new website. And then we'll be back together next Sunday for another time just like this, okay? And so I want you to know I love you. I want you to know I'm praying for you, and I invite you and ask you to join me in being in prayer for our world. Have a great week. Bye-bye.